4:7. This is a verse that you're most likely familiar with. Well, we're going to go through three verses. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And also in Matthew 17:2, and I'll start here on verse 1. And it said, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And finally, one more scripture, Matthew 5:14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, Father, I just ask that these would be your words, your heart, your thoughts. You would communicate these to us, please. In Jesus' name. I guess I just want to start out by saying God really wants all of us to know who's inside of us and the power that that represents and the person that that represents. You know, Pastor Moore talked about our bodies being these temporary tents. Oh, hallelujah. Let there be light. I can't not say that, so let there be light. Okay. You know, we live in these temporary tents, and it's very easy, you know, to get up in the morning and look at ourselves in the mirror and say, you again. You know, I mean, that's so easy to do. But when you read these scriptures, Christ is in us. That's that treasure in earthen vessels. We have the Lord Jesus Christ residing in us through the Holy Spirit. And I always love that account of when he was transfigured. His face shone like the sun. It was almost like that temporary tent that he was living in was just taken away. And all of a sudden, this brilliance, I mean, his face shone like the sun. His raiment was as bright as white can possibly be. And I think God just wants us to remember that's who we have inside of us. That's who we have inside of us. I mean, these temporary tents, I mean, they may look, you know, kind of nice and beautiful. They may not look so nice and beautiful. They may look heavy, thin, whatever. Christ is in us. This is light. And I didn't realize it, but, you know, in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. It just doesn't say God loved the world. So loved it. There's an emphasis there, like he so loved it, he just so loved it, he so loved it. And then in that verse in Matthew 5:14, he says, let your light so shine before men. He's not saying just let your light shine, but so shine. And we can, because of the brilliance of Christ, his face was shining like the sun. And I had a beautiful example of that. I was playing taxi service for Pastor Moore on Monday because Cynthia had to take her car in to get a front end alignment. So I went with him to do the Bible study at the State Department there, and there was this one security guard. His man was named Joel, and I guess he was Jewish by birth. And evidently, you know, I could tell from the conversation that was taking place that Pastor Moore had engaged him before. And you know, because he was kind of a grumpy old man. He was going, rawr, 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 all the time. You know, this that Donald Trump. I mean, how can you? He's a bully. He's a liar. How can you support him? And Pastor was, you know, being very kind. You know, like we talked about in Proverbs. You know, a soft answer breaketh the bone. So Pastor was being very, very kind toward him, and you know, and he he really didn't, you know, Joel didn't really have, and he's a sweet man, please understand it, but he really didn't have much of an answer for it. And then Pastor, you know, we changed the subject a little bit, and then it went on about, well, how can you believe that the earth is only 6,500 years old? I mean, come on, all the scientists don't say, And he was just giving, he was just giving him all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, and it was a really funny thing. But Pastor just kept, you know, being very sweet toward him and giving him the truth. And, you know, he did, after a while, Joel didn't have too much to say. But anyway, we had to go in because we were getting late. And I really wanted to talk to him because my heart really started to go out for this man, you know, because I told Pastor when we walked out of the study there, I mean, you know, he can put up all the rah, 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 but you could tell deep down inside that, well, he wanted what Pastor Moore had. He saw, just Pastor Moore was shining that light that was inside of him to this man. He was shining his light. And even though he was putting up all this outward fight, he wanted what Pastor Moore had. He wanted that faith to believe. You know, he said, I'm an Old Testament man, not a New Testament man, and all that. He wanted that. Pastor Moore was shining his light on that man, and he wanted it. He wanted that. And, you know, I walked up to him, and I said, my name is Mark. What's yours? And he said, it's Joel. And I shook his hand, and I smiled at him, and I hope I had that look of love in my eye, because I really wanted, even though I didn't have any time to really verbally communicate much to him, I just wanted him to see the love that I had for him. And it was funny. He gave me this funny look, like, why is this kid coming up to me that I was just bad-mouthing for the last 10 minutes, looking at me with a smile and this picture of love in his eyes? And he kind of looked at me like, I didn't know what to do with that. So I guess the message is, you've got, we all have this brilliant light inside of us, this brilliant light, and people need it, and even though they might put up these fronts, they want it. They want this light that we have. So I guess just the message is, let your light so shine before men that we can not only glorify our Father, but that we can draw people to him, because even though, like I say, they may put up a front, deep down inside, everybody wants to know that God loves them. Everybody wants that relationship. Amen? In Jesus' name, thank you. Father, please let our light so shine before men, just, again, not only to glorify you, which it does, but that we would draw all those to you, Father, with your love, with your compassion, with that faith, that unshakable faith that we all have because of the person of Christ that lives in us. And we thank you, Father, that you are so willing, so humble to put your Holy Spirit in us, to go with us wherever we go, even when we're not going the way that you really want us to go. You never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for that humility. And thank you for always being there for us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Evening. So let's pray first. Father, we just thank you for each of one that you brought out here tonight. And we just look to you for the anointing of these words, for us to really hear, for revelation, Lord, for Remus, for us to touch us, Lord. Thank you. Shine your light, as you said, and where your light shines, the flesh dies. There's no room for darkness. Thank you. Just bring that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I want to talk tonight, it was a good introduction, like the light shines, but then the other thing, what hinders that the light doesn't shine? Like what's the enemies that sometimes our light in our practical experience doesn't shine as it could shine? And as you all know, we have like three enemies out there, like the devil, the world, and ourselves. But which is the biggest enemies that hinders us the most? ourselves. Amen. So, I mean, if you want to read quick, there is one verse about it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. So there Paul is writing, "For the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one and to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." So we have this battle within ourselves. And I like, "so that you cannot do the things that you would." I think this is like two sides speaking. One side, we maybe can't fulfill the lust of the flesh because the spirit is convicting us and the spirit helps us to not do it. So that's the one side to look at it. The other side is maybe we can't do the things of the spirit because our will, our flesh is too strong and says, "No, I don't want to do it." So it's like these both sides to it. And as we all know, so most of what from messages from a book like The Breaking of the Outer Man from Watchman Nee and some servants from Pastor Stevens. So as we all know, we have the three parts. We have the spirit, the inner being, where the Holy Spirit, our spirit, but the Holy Spirit dwells, like is united with our spirit, if we believe in Christ. And then afterwards comes the soul, with the will, the emotions, all that, the mind, conscience, self-consciousness, and then the body. So many times we talk of soul, soulish life, where the soul acts and the strength is in the soul. But if the soul is controlling us, then that's ourself. That's ourself. But if the spirit only can be released through the soul. He needs the soul and the body to be released. Like, how can the spirit speak? He needs our mouth to speak. And he needs the mind to think about these things. So he needs it, but it has to be released through the soul. And all this soul, the strongest, I think, is the will. Like all the mind, the emotions, all compacting the will. So if our will is strong and it's not broken, the spirit can't really be released. So that's just the main theme. So, and to show that quick, in John chapter 12, here's Jesus speaking, John chapter 12, verse 23. And he speaks of himself. Is it? Yeah. So he speaks of himself, but it also applies to us. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." So it speaks of Christ dying on the cross, and because he died, we all received his life, his righteousness. But I also like, so of the seed, what does the seed have? It has a shell around it. And the seed can stay like in a bag for many, many years. The life is still there. But what it needs to produce the life, it has to go in the earth. And the seed itself, it can't break the shell. If the seed is still, it can't break the shell. But if it's in the earth, the temperature and the moisture of the earth break the shell. So it needs something from outside to break us, to break our man. And that's God. That's the spirit from outside moving to break us, our man. So, and then what does God uses to break us? So there's two things that the Spirit does. One is the discipline of the Spirit, and one is the revelation of the Spirit. So the discipline is more of our experience in our life if we go to trials. And it doesn't have to be always trials, just in our lively experience. And many times how we take that, many times it's maybe a person comes to us or comes to our life, and we have problems to handling that person, or we don't really like this person, or financial issue comes. And the natural, what is our natural response? We start to murmur, we start to complain. But to realize that in all of this situation, like God is sovereign, and even as we see in Paul, like what Paul said, like a messenger of Satan came to bring it. But in the end, what does Paul respond to? He goes to God and asks God to heal with it. So Satan maybe brings something, or sin from people brings something. God brings these people or these things to our life. So he is sovereign. And in this difficulty, to see and realize God is doing all these things to break us. Like God is bringing this situation in our life to break us. And there's two main things that can hinder us. Like the one main thing that can hinder us is darkness in our mind. Like a darkness to like, oh man, it's just this person's fault. Or the darkness to look like, oh, this situation is so bad. And look at situation or look at persons instead of like looking, oh, God's hand is behind that. God's hand is doing that and God works something through me, brings a breaking to me and helps maybe also the other person to see God's hand behind it. Because it takes, for the breaking, it takes time. Like we see in Joseph's life, for example, many things happened to his life. Joseph, you didn't really see him complaining. But it's still many things had to happen for the breaking, even if he didn't complain, even if he maybe saw even God's hand in it. But if we don't see God's hand, if we're blind to it, it slows the process and it's going to take a much longer time. So we have that. And what can we do about it? We can say if something comes to us and say, okay, God, I don't understand it maybe, but I trust this is you. You are sovereign and you bring this situation in my life. This is you and I surrender to you. I surrender to you. There is not so much we can do, but we can see God and say, okay, I surrender to you and I see that you work in this situation, that you are sovereign. I accept it, Lord. Then the next thing that can hinder us, a big thing, it's our self-love. Like we all love ourselves. I don't know why, but we do. I mean, as more as we follow God, we realize in this situation, like why we maybe shouldn't love ourselves, but we all do kind of love ourselves. And sometimes it's also tricky because secretly we love ourselves and secretly we try to save ourselves from situation or from things that come to us. And that causes many problems because we secretly actually want to save ourselves instead of accepting it. And one point there. Let's go. Yeah, let's go quick to Romans 2:15. That says, we show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. So that springs again like many things that we do. We accuse somebody else, or it's his fault, or we're excusing ourselves for our own behavior. So it's many times our natural things, that's what we're doing. We're accusing somebody else or excusing instead of just like, okay, God, I trust you with that. I don't have to protect like my own self or say like, oh, how is the right? I forgot the word, but I don't have to excuse. And then one point, why these things happen to us, situations. And again, it doesn't have to be trial. Maybe you brought in a situation like Pastor Handel last time brought out where many kids came to him and he had to take care of these kids, especially one son that he said, I'm going to be your father now. So there's many situations coming in our life that can be positive or negative, but that help us to grow and to be broken. And all these things, why a situation happens, and that was from a servant from Pastor Stevens. It's like God put us in a situation because he needs us in these situations. It's like sounds weird, God needs us. But maybe we're in a situation where we're together with an unbeliever or somebody struggling, and how can God show himself? It's many times he uses us because he lives in us, so he can show himself to other people in a situation. And many times we're in a situation and we may be, I don't want to be in this situation, but like, no, God needs you in this situation. God's want to use you in this situation to show his light, to show his love, to reveal himself, so he needs you in this situation. And then the other point, the big what we just said, you need the situation. We need situation that comes in our life. And we need, like, I can think back many times, like a situation, for example, coming here to America, leaving my family behind. My flesh didn't want to do that, but I needed this situation to let go of security in the family and find my security in God. Or many things that we go through, we need the situation that we maybe don't always understand. And then a crucial point also, like many times we're really good in faking, no? aren't we? Like, we can fake ourselves and think ourselves higher, or, yeah, I'm actually pretty good, I'm good at that. What the situation does, the situation finds us out. Like, I can be easy at church and listen to a message and have a smile, like everybody around loves me, it's a great time. But if a situation comes where it's pressure, where it's like a real trial, it finds you out. Is this real where you're showing, or isn't it real? So the situation can show us and reveal to us, like, oh, wow, there is something that I didn't know about myself. I actually still have a lot of self-love, and I don't really love others as I ought to. And not in a condemning way, but to just show us, okay, that's, it finds us out. Because in the end, if we just put a face on or do all this mask on or whatever, like, we convince ourselves. If we do that for a long time, like, we convince ourselves that's who I really am. Because we do it all the time. So the situation comes and finds us out and shows, look, that's who you really are in yourself. And then a bit swift here, but so also again, like to the soul, we have the soul, the mind, and everything. So I can work one thing, like, as we sang, like in your presence. Like, many times I think it's like, okay, I want to be in God's presence. And then we're like, okay, I have to read the word, which is good. I have to pray. But as soon as I stop praying, I stop reading the word, like, I'm not in his presence anymore. Like, oh, I'm just working or I'm doing the dishes. Like, oh, I'm missing God's presence. I have to go back to him. I have to go back to him. Like, in my thought, I have a thought caption. As soon, like, my concentration breaks and I can't keep that thought anymore, then it's like, oh, the presence of God is gone. But we all, like, we never can do that. So how does that work? Because this is all still in the mind working. It's still the mind want to capture that thought. It's still in the soulish mind. But if the mind is broken and the spirit is released to it, then it's the spirit who has the presence of God always with him. Like, we always have the presence of God through the spirit. So then the next point, quick. So that's how the Spirit works, through disciplining us, through situation, whatever comes in our life. Then the other point that it works, of course, through the Word, through revelation. Like, where we have a revelation of something. And as I said before, it's really easy for us to talk like, yeah, I mean, we all do it. We all do it. Yeah, our flesh, I'm a prideful person. Who knows? Or like, yeah, I'm a selfish person. Like, we all do that. But then it's sometimes we have moments through the Word when we read where there is a revelation of God. And the revelation of God, then we can't just easily say, like, yeah, I know, I'm a prideful person, because it shows us really how prideful we really are or how selfish we really are. So this revelation of God through the Word really breaks us. And as I said in the prayer, a really interesting thing that I thought, like, when the light of the revelation comes, it's not the revelation comes and then afterwards come the discipline or afterwards many things have to happen. The revelation itself is already the solution. Because when the light shines on the flesh can't live in the light. So it dies in that moment when the revelation comes and the thing is actually dealt with. And when in this particular thing something comes up again a later moment, I realize, or the light is still there, I had this revelation and I don't have to let this come again. If I have the true revelation of God. And it has to go this way, like we always heard that, or like who you really are, or who you are maybe at home or in your closet or whatever. Like, it shows this thing. So God has to really break us and smite us that wherever we are, whenever we are, that's who we are. We are the same person. We don't have to, like, one day act like that, one day act like that. Because we are broken and the Spirit is in control. And just to what I spoke before with the light, if you want to go quick to Hebrews 4:12 about the Word. Probably all know this verse. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So what that was the word does, it discerns. It's a discerner of our thoughts and intents of the heart. So sometimes maybe we think like, oh, I'm doing that all for the Lord, and then it discerns our hearts and thoughts, and maybe it shows sometimes that, yeah, there's a lot just because you want to do it, or you want to look good before other people or whatever. So the word brings this revelation to us, and it shines the light. Then I'm going to end on that. But yeah, we had with the imitation that that's something really dangerous, because many times we can read here like you have to be humble. Like God said, we should be a humble person. We should love others. And then again, we can say, okay, I'm going to do that now. Would be easy if it would be that easy, no? So, but sometimes I think we really try, like, yeah, I'm going to do that now. I want to be humble. But like all this imitation, like, that's what the Spirit has to do. The Spirit has to bring the discipline, the revelation really work in us. And then one moment we maybe realize, and not like in a glorifying us, but glory to God. Wow. God, I really love this person now. Like I'm hanging out with persons that I never would in my natural, but I really love them now. Or just things happen in us that we realize, wow, this becomes true now. This is really who I am. Thank you, God. And in this moment, there's never a moment of pride, because you realize in that moment, wow, that was all God, because I didn't do anything, but you really did it. So just to end quick, so in the situation, one really important thing to get this bit in a positive mode. We don't want it just broken, but it's an important part. But so in the situation, Christ in us is with us in the situation. And I think that's a really, really important part. Christ, like Mark brought us this light, and Christ is in us, and he's in the situation. And one part that just touched me again, like, he will never leave you or forsake you. Like, it's so easy, and I think it was Pastor Stephen who brought out, like, the never, never is like in a three times, like, never, never, never he will leave you. And he won't forsake you even if you forsake him. And just this, like, what's our biggest bond? Like, maybe with our children, or even a marriage. But nowadays, it's like we never leave, but we look at the world and like, many marriages break up, like, or there is divorce. Like, what's never? And to have this promise that Christ, whatever you go through, even if you walk away, he will never leave you. And he is with you in this situation, and he will help you through that situation. And another one, like, when sin abounds, grace abounds even the more. Like when we sin or we're in a situation and we act wrong, or a situation looks so tough the situation looks. But Christ said, grace abounds even more. He gives us the grace to go through that situation. And I experienced myself, like trials may come, and you look back like, that was a small trial and compared to the trial you're now in. But then you're like in this trial like, oh, it's going pretty well, like, thank you, God. Not always, but you can see the grace of God working. The grace of God is there if you need it. If the trials are big, God gives you the grace because Christ is in you. And just to have this with us. Is it eight? Oh, wow, we still have much more time. Not much more, but I think I still leave it at that. So, praise the Lord. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit who discipline us, Lord, that we don't have to be fake people. We don't have to, and many times we don't know ourselves. We don't know what we need, but you do, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you want the best for us in all situations, that you work for us through all situations, Lord. And that you help us, Lord. And as it says, Lord, that all things are for our sakes, Lord. And in Romans 8, 2, all things work together for good, and you in control of all things, Lord. And we just thank you for that. We thank you that you work through us, Lord, and that you gave us Christ, and that sin abounds, grace abounds even more, Lord. And just show us, Lord, and bring revelation to us personally, Lord, where we need it. Bring the revelation, Lord, and bring the breaking where we need it, Lord. And thank you. Amen. And just one point quick. if maybe like that touches, so what is the one point we can do? Like we can give ourselves to the Lord completely, like the Romans 12:2 decision. Like we can say, okay, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. And many times it's like, yeah, great decision. Like I had this one, I think it was a documentary of four young guys, and they were going out preaching and everything, and they were like, man, when this preacher gives the altar call, it's like, wow, I'm going to have a happy and great life now. And now I'm here and it's pretty tough. So it's the same. If we give ourselves completely to the Lord, things break. So that's what's going to happen. So things may be going to come when we do that in our life. And like, whoa, what's going on now? But thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You answered my prayer. And you're really changing me, and you, that I can bring more glory to you, that I can have a deeper fellowship with you. So be excited for the times to come when you concentrate or give yourself completely to the Lord. Amen.